never start. We can never start these and just act like normal people. I don't think it's just like, yeah, we just can't. We can't do it.
But you know what? That's hard. It's very hard to start these talking like a normal person.
Yeah, because it's like, who? Oh, like the people that may or may not be hearing us. Hello to you. Okay. So, everyone's missed us because it's been 2 weeks without a new episode. Wow.
Yes.
Or actually, no, 1 week, yeah. But it's been 2 weeks since the last one. Close enough.
Yes. Yes.
And we were sure that we were missed dearly. but there's been, you know what? There's been a lot of things that have happened, yet there hasn't been as many things in the pop culture world that I
yes.
As many, because I feel like there's been like really big weekly developments and it's been 2 weeks since our last. Mm-hmm. And like not that gigantic like things in like movies and TV, even though there's been like the SAG awards, but like I mean and the Euphoria finale, like
yes.
But you know what? We still have things to talk about. So without further ado, John Mulaney on Saturday, obviously, because it's called Saturday Night Live, just hosted SNL. And how do we feel about John Mulaney lately? Because honestly, even though I think the baby is adorable, I still get some sort of ick factor from him because the timeline of the whole Anna and Olivia situation still messes with me. Because he said on SNL that like he got out of rehab in February, and February is apparently also when people added up the timeline is when Olivia Munn got pregnant.
Yeah, because I don't think it could be any later. I think I've seen people on TikTok have done the math. I don't see math.
FBI agents.
People on TikTok have done the math and have figured out that it is like not possible for there to not have been some like overlap with when he was still married to Anna, which breaks my heart because I love her so much. Justice for Petunia. She should not have to live in a broken home.
No, but there seems to be, because you know, a lot of John's comedy had to do with the fact that neither of them wanted kids. And I guess I'm not going to peer into people's lives that I don't know, but with both things from coming from their part, it looked like there was some sort of maybe miscommunication or like they both decided things. I don't know, but it seems as though that there was just some really fishy things going on. But it also seemed as though like when they did like file for divorce or whatever, when he left her, it was like an abrupt thing because as much as she doesn't like Anna, like doesn't talk specifically about the situation, which I totally respect because it was like a whole imploded thing that happened on like the
internet. And she's also not like a celebrity type person as well.
No. I just feel bad for her because you know, because of John's like, I guess, celebrity status, like her entire, you know, life got imploded on the internet and people were like speculating what happened. And as much as like we're talking about it now, this is a lot of the I'm trying to defend my girl Anna because there's a lot of
and
things
her
that got
really
said
cool
on the
lamps.
Internet.
Yeah,
she
makes some
and
really
she's an
cool
artist.
Lamps.
She's badass, and I really like her.
She is very talented. Yes.
Yeah, and also
it
just
very sad
kind
that
of,
he divorced the Jew.
Yeah, same. It also just kind of gives me the ick factor now, knowing the things that I kind of, as like a Jewish woman, the things I kind of let slide what he say and think, because like, oh, it's fine, he has like his wife is Jewish, like, you know, he's kind of probably, you know, Nick Kroll's Jewish, like he's probably been immersed in a lot of like Jewish culture with his friends being that, but like after he like divorced a Jewish woman and seemed to have left her abruptly, just kind of gives me the ick. And like looking back
the whole timeline is off,
spooky.
The
baby's quite cute though, like no shade to the baby.
Very cute. If he's happy and the baby's healthy and like him and Olivia Munn, if like good for them, I'm glad that he's happy. It just especially after like he was just in rehab so soon after where he got out.
I mean the shirts he event? Literally put on, he literally had his like comedy show, and then the shirts he was selling was I saw him straight out of rehab, and I was like, you know what, like good for him to make light of a situation that was obviously probably a life's long struggle for him at this point, but it's also just like sketch the things that have happened since he went in/got out. So I don't know, he just the way I used to think it was this, you know, I liked the way he put on his comedy because I thought like the voice, his voice was like very entertaining. And I liked the way he, like his delivery was always great. But like, I can't watch those with the same way I used to because.
Yeah, there's just a little thing in the back of my head that's like, oh, like, cause his whole thing was he was like this down to earth celebrity who shouldn't have been a celebrity, you know, like he had this very like,
yeah,
he was like this bridge between the regular world and the celebrity world, and he felt very down to earth, and that was like a mm-hmm. key part of his like comedy, yeah. Was like,
and he had,
was,
like, and he had a wife, a woman and a who was dog.
Like not yeah. yeah, like his wife was not someone who was like, she was like behind the scenes in the industry, they like, he lived a very like humbling life, and then now he's like become this huge celebrity tabloid person. Yeah. And
I mean, I don't know, when it just, he was on SNL, he literally wasn't even like an actor on SNL. He was a writer because he was so sometimes he would like come on when he was a writer and like get to do like yeah. some of the skits. But before he like branched off on his own, like people didn't know him. So like yeah, you said, it was like this yeah, like you said, he was this unlikely dude who kind of was very down to earth, but people also really loved his comedy. And now, mm-hmm. because of the whole him being with an actual celebrity woman thing and leaving his like down to earth, like art, like badass artist wife, like, and their dog. Well, she probably got the dog, which I'm happy she got Petunia because she deserves Petunia. Yes. It's just, yeah, it's a very fishy situation. And I feel bad for everyone involved because, like, you know, as much as, you know, it was probably, you know, he probably did love her, he married her, but like, I feel bad for her because from what the small things that I've heard her say about the situation, it was quite abrupt. And I just, it's very not,
yeah,
it's not.
She good. Has like talked about, not like explicitly, but on her TikTok, she like posts a lot of stuff about like a lot of art and stuff like that. That yeah. She's like, oh, like this is reflecting my life and what I'm feeling like. And she's talked about how she's had like a really hard year, like personally. And so you can tell that something definitely went down and
oh, yeah,
she definitely sure. felt a little blindsided, which sucks. Cause like, even if, you know, like not every marriage is going to end happily and that's okay. Like, it's not that I'm like, oh, I'm so mad that they got divorced. It just sucks that it had to be blown so much into the public, and that someone who isn't really in the public eye, like she didn't ask to be a celebrity, is like now just being talked about this huge scandal.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it just seems like it's a shitty situation.
Ooh, yeah, and like situation. What you were saying about her social media. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that picture she posted of herself last year, like 2021. And she was like, said like dinners in March, and it was like her at this big empty table. It was like she's really able to represent her grief without actually like, with very little words. But you know, they say a picture can, you know, can speak like
a thousand words.
Yes, thank you. That's the word. Tells a thousand words. There was actually something that happened to me recently that I am very sad about and very mad about, and I would like to express how mad I was / still a little bit am about it. So. Last week, I was supposed to see Kacey Musgraves in Toronto on the very last day of her Star-Crossed Unveiled tour. But at 4 p.m., and the concert was supposed to start at 8 p.m., there's a Instagram message sent out, like, on her Instagram, on Kacey's Instagram story, being like, due to inclement weather overnight, the trucks that we needed for our concert were not able to, like, get in and, like, weren't able to be set up, so we can't, sorry to everyone, but we can't put on the concert. And
oh,
here is where I kind of call BS. So basically, I looked at the ticket sales of that concert. Not even half the tickets had been sold, and they were out, and it was only half capacity at that. Wow. Not even 50% of the half capacity arena had been sold.
I didn't even know she went on tour. I would have bought tickets. I love Kacey Musgraves. Yeah. I love Star Crossed.
Well, you should be happy you didn't, because she didn't come here on her only Canadian stop. I'm not saying that it's a complete lie, but the thing is that the concert was supposed to be on the 25th of February, and the last concert date she did before the 25th was on the 20th. Why did they wait till the day before if there was probably bad weather yeah. that was supposed to come? I just think that there's some fishy situation that went on. Like, I don't even know if she even ended up being in Toronto. Like, I feel like she didn't even come here, and they were just like, yeah, we're canceling. Like, it was just, it seemed really abrupt. If there was inclement weather overnight, why did they only tell us? Yeah, they said inclement weather overnight. Why didn't they tell us? And also, people drove in to Toronto through bad weather conditions so they would be able to see her. People spent money on hotels, like plane tickets, like drove like in their car a long way, so they paid for a lot. They paid a lot for gas
and like, it was all, so, like,
food, everything. And then she cancels on us 4 hours before. Like, I'm pissed off, and I had gotten the tickets like 2 days before, and I live like in Vaughan. I live in Toronto, like in Toronto. So it's like, I can't imagine what it's like when you get, when you know you get hotel, like you pay for a hotel, you pay for a ticket, you pay for like all the stuff that's on top of the fact that you paid for a ticket to a concert somewhere you don't live, and then you get canceled on 4 hours before it's supposed to happen. I'm just like, I'm pissed off on behalf of other people, but I'm also just pissed off because I was literally on the verge of getting ready for the concert. Because, you know, obviously I was going to leave the house like 2 hours after that had happened. And I was just really mad. I just think it was like really mean. And she didn't even seem to like really care that much.
Sketch. That seems really. And
she also started, also before the Toronto date, she also started literally posting memories from the tour and was like, okay, last stop at Toronto tomorrow. It seemed like she was like, she was already reminiscing because she wasn't planning to come here.
Yeah, because if the tickets just, like hadn't sold out, you feel it seems like she would have canceled it earlier. If like the ticket sales weren't good, then she would have like canceled it.
Yeah, she was only selling floors. She was only selling floors in 100 section, and not even half of that was sold out. She wasn't even doing 300 because it was still 50% capacity in Ontario. And now, March 1st, today, those capacity limits, every capacity limit anywhere is lifted in Ontario. Like, you know, hopefully people will actually come here now. But, you know, knowing the situation of – but I feel like it's different now. It's very, very different now. But, like, knowing the situation of how often we had been closing and opening – so many people just weren't coming here. Like Harry Styles didn't just never rescheduled here. We were the first to get, we're the OGs. We were the first to got canceled, first like concerts to get canceled from Harry. But everyone was pissed off. He was like, we didn't even get a straight apology. He was just like, sorry to the rest of the world when the Canadian concerts were the only ones that had been canceled back then. And I was just like, come on, Harry.
I hope not. I have 4 concerts coming up.
Oh, wait, we're both going to Haim.
Yes, we're both going to Haim with our sisters. So, and then all my concerts, I'm literally going with my sister. Because, like, we have the same taste in music and everything. And
same
like,
with me and my sister, except for, like, a little bit. Yeah. She still likes 21 Pilots, and I don't.
Yeah, well, my sister,
I never liked them in the first place.
And yeah, I liked them for, like, maybe a couple of weeks and then, like, a couple songs.
Care what you think. Sorry.
And then me and my sister we always have the same taste in music for like most of like our favorite artists are the same, and then she likes a lot of like older music as well, whereas like I am more into like singer-songwriter acoustic type songs as like my kind of like secondary genre. We both like music that sounds good. I don't really have a genre. It's like music that sounds good, I like it. If it sounds good and my ears are like, this is good, then I like it. Doesn't matter the genre.
Yeah. When I was younger, and I didn't really have just like, I wasn't able to just like explore like what music I liked on my own because I was literally like 8 years old and I didn't know anything about music. That, you know, my sister's 4 years older than me. So when I was younger, everything, all the CDs played in the car, like that was from her. So my interest in One Direction, that was from her. Like if my sister had never told me about One Direction, I wouldn't have gotten to see them in concert twice, which I've like, and then is I can't believe that I even got to like, I may not have as many memories from those concerts because I was still like a kid, but you know, I feel grateful that I got to see One Direction when they were still together. But a lot of my music taste comes from my sister. But I actually did like Taylor Swift before she did, and she was like, and I was like, how much of that came from me? Because she started being like a big Taylor Swift fan of the last year, and she's like 80% of that was from you. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because my sister honestly gives me a lot of my music taste. Like, I definitely was the Taylor stan before she was because in grade 4 at my elementary school, everyone like always waits for this like grade 4 project that you get to do where you get to like pick at your an artist and do a like a Bristol board presentation about it to your class in like music class. And so I remember me and my friend did Katy Perry. Oh my God. And we were like, we love Katy Perry so much. This is going to be so good. And then our other friend didn't want to do it with us. She was like, no, I have a better artist. And she did Taylor Swift. And then you basically, like, everyone would bring a CD of, like, your favorite, like, two or three songs of that artist and, like, play it for the class. And she, like, played her CD of the, like, they were all from, like, her self-titled album and, like, Fearless.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't like, I think Speak Now had come out already, but like those were like this girl's favorite songs. And I remember me and my friend listening to it and we were like, oh my God, like this is it. Like this is literally the best person on the planet.
I remember everyone, so not everyone, but so many people I know went to the Red Tour. And I wasn't a fan back then, but so many people went. And I was not a fan. I wasn't a hater. I just wasn't a fan. But I do remember when I was like, when I was 11 or 12 years old, I bought myself or someone got me like an Apple gift card. And I was like not some kind of self-proclaimed Taylor Swift fan, but the album I bought myself with the Apple gift card, the album I bought myself was 1989. And I don't know why I got it because I was not some kind of, I was never like outwardly like a Taylor fan. And then when it was like 2016,
you just like randomly bought it.
No, like literally, because I knew some of the songs and I was like, I'm going to buy the whole thing. So when I ended up listening to 1989 as a full album, like years later, when I became a Taylor Swift fan, I was like, oh my God, I remember these songs. I just don't remember like lyrics to any of them, but I remember listening to them on my own for no reason when I was like 11 or 12. And I was never like a big fan. But I will say though, not to be like the worst person on earth, but when it was like 2017 or 2016, the whole world was hating on Taylor. I wasn't the nicest about her either. I wasn't like, ooh, Kanye was right. Like, I didn't really care about that.
Yeah, me too. I kind of reclused myself from the fandom.
I remember she saying I did something bad at the AMAs, and I was like, I literally remember this vividly. I was like, ooh, she thinks she did something bad, and I was so mean. So I'm now formally apologizing to Taylor Swift, who is never going to hear any word that comes out of my mouth. Taylor, I love you, and you are my mother, so it's fine.
Yeah, I remember, like, I was, like, Taylor Swift all the way. Like, she was, like, I remember spending, or I definitely didn't buy them. I was, like, I was 12, but as, like, a birthday or, like, Hanukkah or something, I like got the Taylor Swift tickets like with my friends, and we went, and I was like to like the Red Tour, and it was like the greatest night of my life. And then the next day she was like doing another show, and then my dad like came downstairs and he was like, oh my God, someone in my office just like gave me free tickets to it, like as like, because like the companies that he works for would just like give him free tickets to concerts. And he was like I can't believe we paid for you to go, Amy. We could have gotten these tickets for free. And I remember him being so mad, and I didn't end up going because my sister was like, no, I want to go, because there was only got three tickets. And he was like, oh, like, Amy, you love Taylor Swift. And he took my sister and my mom instead. And then that was when my sister was like, I like Taylor Swift. And I was like, I did first. And they got like the box seats where you get like the food and stuff, but you know what, I was like the first row of like the 100 level, so I was like kind of like vibe, like I was
no vibing.
I was like, you know what, I have better
you
seats.
See Andrea? No, okay.
I did not see Andrea, but that was in that tour. She had like two stages, and the B stage was like right in front of us.
Oh,
so
my God.
That was like pretty amazing. And I got a really great t-shirt that I still have. And then, yeah, I saw 1989 with my dad and my sister.
When Taylor goes on tour next,
like from his work.
When she goes on tour next, I think I'm going to like bawl my eyes out if like I'm getting tickets.
She's going to have to do a 4-hour set.
No, and I will be there for every lovely second.
Oh, me too.
No, because I became a Taylor fan in 2019, because that basically I was like full into Stan Twitter, meaning a lot of the people I was like big One Direction, big Harry Styles, like I had a fan account. So a lot of the people that I like talked with on Twitter or like followed were Taylor Swift fans as well. So when Lover was coming out, I was like fully immersed in Twitter, right? So I was like, I'm going to give it a listen. I have no idea why, but then like I got obsessed, and then I got and I was in the US when it came out. I was in LA in the summer with like my family. Oh. So I picked up the Target version of Lover, and I still have it. And then I got like a $5 signs thing because she had put them, and I saw them, and I got it online. And the Lover era was my first ever era. And obviously like she wasn't going to do Loverfest in Toronto, but it got cut short. And I remember like I wanted to see more performances on YouTube, and I'm sad. But literally, because
and
it's
they
been
took
4 years.
Disney Plus one off.
Because it's been like 3 years since like I became like a big fan, Like, I'm gonna bawl my eyes out when I eventually get to see her, because like, she's just the best ever. And speaking of what you were saying about like you being you to your sister being like, oh, she was, I liked her first. That's sometimes how I feel like with my sister, because like, I'm always like excited that she likes Taylor, because I'm like, yes, yes, more stans. But at the same time, when she's like singing a song by Taylor that I didn't think she knew yet, I feel some kind of possession over a song that I didn't think she knew. Like, it was like, she's like put on like, she was like put on like Getaway Car, or like put on New Year's Day or something, and I'm like, you know New Year's Day already? And sometimes I'm like,
this early into your Taylor Swift world tour.
No, I'm literally the worst. Okay, but speaking of like celebrity singers, I don't know if we talked about this on another episode already, but I was just thinking recently about like how disconnected Harry Styles is online from like his fandom.
Yeah, like, I remember my sister complaining about this all the time. She was like so annoyed that he's so inactive, and like all of his posts are like not connecting.
No, they're so like, no, because it's annoying, because it's not like anyone's expecting Harry to go on some big like replying to people thing on Twitter, or like talking to fans every single day, or replying to fan tweets every day. But it's the fact that he's just never there. And I understand like it's important for your mental health, like not to be on social media all the time. I mean, I literally deleted my Twitter account because it was like ruining my mental health low key. And I was so much happier without it. And I know that he said like online, or like in the, he said like for an interview or something, that he feels so much better without social media. But I really don't think it's a big stretch to tweet something maybe every 2 months, but he doesn't. I really don't think it's a big stretch to put a couple words. Like,
to be like, oh, like, I recognize you as fans, and like all that you're doing for me. And like, that doesn't even have to be like a whole big thing.
Exactly. You know, especially,
it can just be like something
fandoms
little.
And in the age of social media, literally running people's careers, like keeping people's careers alive. Cause like at the end of the day, this is how the world works now. And as stupid as it is that like, you know, there's a lot of toxic fans out there, social media is really what keeps people's careers alive and what starts people's careers. Yeah. So I think it's just, I understand like when he does put out his concerts, he's very connected with his fans. He talks a lot on stage. He tells everybody how much he appreciates them being there. But when he disappears, he disappears. And I really don't think it's a big stretch for him to be like, hey, like, how is everyone? Like maybe once every 2 months, and then leave the app. Because if you, because in my opinion, you can go on and off of Twitter in like 2 seconds. Like, so sometimes Taylor Swift will tweet something, and I'll go on like my private Twitter account just to see it, like it, and I'll leave the app. Like, I really, and I think trying to make him this like godly thing is, you can look at it one way or another. You can look at it as like, ooh, people like respect him as this like household name now. But you can also say the people that put him in that spot are pissed off because he doesn't even recognize them most of the time.
Yeah. I get what you mean.
And you can still love you can still love a person and like love someone's music without like defending every single thing they do, because that's the whole thing about discourse. Like, I can say that I'm kind of pissed off that he doesn't, and I'm not even pissed off on behalf of me, because like I have Taylor, I have like other artists that I like, but like when Harry's like your main dude, I can't imagine how annoying it must be to still be like online on Twitter all the time and just like
be searching for crumbs. Yeah.
Literally crumbs. Yeah, it just pisses me off sometimes because he makes it clear. Like, I remember I still had my fan account that I like ended up deleting like during the Fine Line era, so like end of 2019, right? And then he was like outwardly like replying to fan tweets as like a means of promotion. Like, he wasn't doing it out of the goodness of his heart. It was because he was starting a new era. And as much as as much as it seemed genuine, looking back, I'm like, this was so incredibly planned. It hurts my feelings for other people.
Yeah, I find I often like gravitate towards like artists, like especially music artists that are more interactive on like different social media platforms, just because like it makes me like as a fan feel like a little bit more connected to their work. And it kind of like, I don't know, like for example, I love Ash. Like, she's like one of my favorite artists, and me and my sister are going to her concert.
Yeah, I was about to ask because she's coming to Toronto.
Yeah, and she is an artist who's like, she's very interactive, like on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram, and like she really like includes her fans in a lot of her.
Yeah, I see her TikToks a lot.
Promotion, yeah, and she does a lot of like, she like did a music video that was like a compilation of people doing like a TikTok dance that like was in one of her music videos. And it's like a lot of these, and I understand like it's not an artist's job to like entertain us through social media. But I think, like, if they're going to have social media, they know what comes from that.
And exactly. Like, it's their choice to have the accounts. Because there are celebrities that don't... I know it's different for music and for actors, but just, like, putting it all out there just for, like, A-listers in general, there are a lot of them that don't have social media. So it's not like you have a means of connecting with them. It kind of feels like this out-of-reach thing when, like, an artist does have social media, but they just don't use it at all.
Yeah. And, like, I'm all for, like, if an artist doesn't want to have social media, I'm not going to be like, no, 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 you need to. Because, like, that's them making it clear, mm-hmm. like... that's not where I want to be, that, and that's okay. Like, I'm not going to be mad about that. But it's one of those things where, like, for example, Taylor Swift, she only really uses her Instagram when she's, like, promoting something. Like, she's not, but I think it's been clearly established that, like, especially ever since Reputation, like, that was when her Instagram started to, it kind of, like, it got wiped clean and it started just being about promoting her work, because there's been a clear pattern in her career of, like, her own words being used against her. And she's kind of tried to keep it so that anything, if she wants to talk to people, she will. She'll go on a talk show, or she'll make a personalized statement talking to people and telling them what they need.
Exactly.
And I'm not, like, in. Like, I like Harry Styles, but I'm not, like, in his, like, fandom or whatever. But from what I have seen, like, on Twitter, because I'm on Twitter, and my sister is, like, a huge One Direction fan, is that it's a lot of, like, just, like, crumbs.
Yeah. But I also,
like,
think...
people, and it's, like, yeah, it's, like, he kind of just, like, disappears off
yeah
the
but
face
I
of
also
the
think about Taylor's, like, being online during promotion is that she seems a lot more genuine. I'm not saying that Harry's not a genuine person, because I do not know him personally, and
but
I don't
like
think I've ever tried to act like I
persona.
Yeah, but I've never tried to act like I know someone personally, because I think it's, like, effed up when, like, someone tries to act like a celebrity is their best friend, because they're not. I mean, not that they would love for them to be, but they're not. But yeah. Taylor, the thing about, okay, here's where I wanted to get to. Taylor knows her fans. She knows them.
Yes.
She does the secret sessions.
Everything she does
she replies to someone, and she replies to someone, and it seems genuine, because sometimes she's connected with these people online already.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, like, when Harry, like, tweets and replies to fans, that it's not a genuine thing, but I do think that Taylor knows her fans better than Harry knows his fans.
Yeah,
I think that
seems
different.
A bit more calculated.
Taylor's a lurker. Even if she's not posting, I think she's lurking.
I think that
when Harry
there.
Comes online, he hasn't really been online, or he's just been, like, looking at stuff that maybe his friends have done online, but not anything to do with his own fans, I believe.
Yes.
And I love him. I love his work, and I understand that there's a disconnect between celebrity persona and actual persona, and I understand that fully, which is, like, how it's easier to, like, disconnect myself and just listen to someone's music and then, like, look at videos of them online when they've had the concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, when someone has a created persona versus, like, something else, like, I feel like Taylor's team has done a... Also, she's been in, like, the media, but, like, definitely longer than Harry. She's been through more in the sense that she literally had to disappear because she was getting harassed online horribly.
I think,
But, like,
she also
just seems,
like,
more...
Has
she knows her fans
the
better.
Right. Yeah, like, she's earned the right to not be as... active. And I think Harry, being an artist, like, yes, like, he's obviously had a lot of success, and I know One Direction was, like, very, like, interactive with their fans when
yeah
they were
for like 5 years
popular.
Straight he definitely was but that was also when he was a kid. Like, he was
exactly
he was on Vine in 2013 because he was 19 years old.
Exactly. And I think it's very, like, I think it's a bit of, like, a it was really harsh, I think, for him to go from being really, really involved in, like, his fan connections when he was in One Direction to, like, he is now doing this solo stuff, and he's, like, obviously been very successful, but, you know, he has 2 albums out, he's been doing his solo stuff for, what, like, 6-7 years, and so not even probably I have no idea how long, so I feel like it would be better for him, probably more successful for him, if he paid more attention I bet to, like, the fans and the people around him.
Completely
not to say
agree.
That he's not a good artist. I think he's
a
great
artist,
but I think, but I think there's always, like, I think his just, like, media persona could be a bit less, like, brittle.
Yeah. I agree. And this is not me saying that I don't think he's like extremely talented and that I don't like not yeah. love him, because like I follow Harry Styles update accounts and I'm on the edge of my seat waiting for like his new music, because I see that there are music videos being made, and I'm not denying that. And I'm not even trying yeah. to be harsh, but I definitely do think that there should be credit due where there's credit due. And, you know, again, social media really is nowadays what keeps, you know, people in the public eye. And exactly. I just think that they're, you know, as toxic as certain fandoms can be, and like as, and I'm not saying that they're not, because, you know, there's been horrible things said by certain fans that have like, that they're, that so much so that they're known as bad fandoms. But I definitely mm-hmm. do think that still fans are what keeps, you know, people's careers like afloat. And I'm not trying yeah. to say that I don't think he's a good person, because I'm sure he's a very nice guy. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anyone ever say online that Harry Styles was an ass. So yeah. this is just me being like, I think that he should have like literally a little bit more online presence than he has now. That's literally not saying a lot, because he has absolutely zero, except for when he has stuff coming out.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Because you can compare him again, like with Taylor. So the, you know, I think we've seen the rise and fall of the, how the media has kind of dealt with Taylor. And I think that she has now like a good online versus not online thing, where people like appreciate her and don't think she's faking. And again, I just think it's to do with his management team, honestly, or whoever, like, just because I feel like they try, I've seen people online say they try to make him seem very godly and like you can't reach him. Yes. And I feel like yeah. because he seems like he could like be a very down to earth guy, they should make him yeah. a little bit more down to earth, because people appreciate down to earth.
Exactly.
Exactly. But also, this is not a part of this anymore, but you just said to me earlier that Elizabeth Olsen has elongated her Marvel contract, and that yes. makes me very excited, because I'm literally obsessed yes. with her.
So I mean, I,
you guys were switching gears to MCU again. Who would have
thought? Oh, yes. I like, this was not something that like is 300% confirmed. Like, I just kept seeing it on like all of these update accounts, like Marvel update accounts on Twitter, and it just kept popping up. So I was like, okay, this seems like it's logical.
I don't know why they would yeah, lie about that anyways.
Yeah. But it's that, yeah, she has upped her contract, because like it was her contract was ending with Multiverse of Madness. She had like done the required amount of, well, that sounds like it's, she's forced to. I mean, like, in yeah. her contract, she has completed yeah. and participated in the number of movies that were, and projects that were in her contract. So it's been renegotiated, and 7 more years of Elizabeth Olsen Marvel projects have been approved, signed, the I's and T's have been dotted and crossed, and I'm very excited. Whether this means we're going to see more of Wanda as villain or hero is TBD, but I'm hoping it's a fun villain turned kind of like hero, but like an interesting hero that's not like boring and always does the right thing. Because mm-hmm. you know,
I like an anti-hero. I mean, I love Loki too. So
yeah, I love a hero where you don't really know if they're going to do the right thing, where you're yeah. a little bit like, are they going to be selfish? Are they going to do the right thing? And sometimes I'm rooting for them to be selfish. Sometimes I'm like,
because I know that people like to say, like, specifically about the anti-hero, like specifically a character like Loki, people like to say that the character was ruined in Ragnarok, actually, not even like the Loki show, but Ragnarok. And I actually think the comedy was like a perfect mix of him, of showing him being that anti-hero, because you know, he's not going to be this gigantic evil person again, but he also don't know if he's going to scheme or if he's going to actually do the right thing.
Exactly.
I love Ragnarok. What makes him it's such in my a good top character. Three. Ragnarok's Same. A top three MCU movie
Same
for me.
Same with me. Yeah, I think a character that, like, that's my issue with a character like Captain America, right? I love Chris Evans, but I always got
big hunky man can knock on my door any day.
I always got frustrated when watching the Captain America movies, because I was like, I know what he's gonna do. He's going to do the right thing. He's going to do the hero thing. And it was like, that was why I liked Tony Stark so much more, was because he has a selfish streak. And despite the fact that he wants to help the world, he is often his own worst enemy. Whereas I felt like Captain America's character was a little bit too cut and dry for me. That's not to say that I dislike him. I just think that, like, it kind of made me not enjoy his movies as much. I would have liked for there to have been a bit more, like, what, like, is he gonna turn, especially with Bucky. I think that, like, especially in the beginning of Winter Soldier, when, or not the beginning of, in the beginning of, like, the Winter Soldier's, Bucky Barnes's journey, there's this, like, very clear line of, like, Bucky bad, he's doing bad things. Mm-hmm. And then the fans started to really see, they were kind of like, nah, actually he did good things. And then it was only, you know, after he went to Wakanda and kind of got deprogrammed that his character was allowed redemption. But I would have thought if it would have been a bit more interesting had, like, I don't know, like, Captain America have been, like, programmed or something. Like, I would have loved for him to
I'm
have,
sure
like,
there's a comic
recruited.
Where that's happened.
Oh, it would have been, I remember watching Winter Soldier and being like, oh my god, what if, like, instead of Captain America saving Bucky from the Winter Soldier program, he gets stuck in the Winter Soldier program and starts, like, just obliterating people.
Well, it's actually interesting, like, you bring that up, because it's actually interesting you bring that up, because the cap, like, because, you know, the Captain America trilogy, well, actually, so I think the Russo brothers directed Winter Soldier and Civil War.
Yes.
But there was a different director for the first one, which is why the two after the first had such different tones. And I was thinking recently, you know, John Watts, who directed the Spider-Man trilogy, is the only director in the MCU who's directed all of every single trilogy, like every single movie out of a trilogy. I think James Gunn is about to do that too with Guardians of the Galaxy, but at this very moment, like, John Gunn is the only one, like, with released John Watts is the only one with released movies who's done all three of one character's movies.
That's so cool. Good for him.
Which is why which is why all the Thor movies are different. Like, all the Thor movies are so different.
Yes. Because because it's been three. I don't think the first and the second are the same director. Right? Am I wrong?
I don't believe so, but I think Kenneth Branagh did the first two. But let me see. Thor: The Dark World. Kenneth Branagh directed the first one, but I don't know about the second one.
Okay, Thor: The Dark.
Nope, they all three different directors. Alan Taylor directed Thor: The Dark World, which is, like, probably the worst movie in the MCU.
Yes.
I don't want to be mean. Loki's the best part of that movie. I will say, even though I'm so excited for Thor: Love and Thunder, I'm excited to see what Taika does with Jane Foster, because I never liked Jane
Me
Foster.
Too.
And it's not because I'm so, like, I just, there was something, there was no, I don't
she
think
was
they,
stale.
I understand that they were always like, ooh, we need, like, a good, like, heart, we need a good, like, couple at, like, the heart of the movie, but they had absolutely zero chemistry, and they also, like, dwindled down her character to even the super smart, like, crazy smart scientist. And she was just a love interest. I think it would have been so interesting if she actually wasn't a love interest, and if she was just, like, just there because she's, like, a crazy smart scientist who literally found him because she's, like, a genius. I also love Darcy, so I was happy she was in WandaVision, because I'm obsessed with Darcy, and she's literally the best part of the first two movies along with Loki.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, something along the lines of the same thing, where, like, the fact that Darcy, like, a full side character who doesn't really have a huge impact on the story, is, like, one of people's favorite parts of those two movies, and that, like, I have not seen I don't think I know a single person who's like, my favorite Marvel couple, Thor and Jane. They had such good
chemistry. The two that's everyone's favorites is always, like, either Tony and Pepper, or Peter and MJ.
Yeah.
But even people like to be like, there was no chemistry between Peter and MJ, and I was like, because they're 16 years old and they're awkward.
Yeah, that was the whole
literally,
point.
They're like, literally two, like, science, like, academic, like, decathlon kids. You think they're gonna be, like, extremely, like, normal around each other? Like, no.
Exactly. I remember seeing, like, when I was watching the, like, blooper reel for Far From Home, John Watts was talking about how, like, he made Tom and Zendaya, like, they kept having to redo the kiss to make it look more awkward.
Because it wasn't awkward enough,
because he was like, you look like two people who know how to kiss, you need to look like two 16-year-olds who've never kissed anyone before.
Okay, but speaking of Spider-Man, I'm so excited for the digital release of Spider-Man No Way Home, though, because there's, like, 80 extra minutes of content.
Yeah.
And there's more Spidey scenes. There's, like, deleted scenes. And I'm so excited because about all that, and also, like, to see all the behind the scenes and the talking, whatever. But you know what would make me actually sad? I think, so you know Martin Starr, who played, like, their teacher, who played Mr. Harrington? in the first two movies. And he was also in the third. Mm-hmm. He got absolutely, I understand, like, you know, they had to make the movie, like, you know, it was already 2.5 hours even after, like, they cut out things. But I was so upset because I think he is so hilarious and so well, does so well at playing their teacher. I was so sad he literally had, like, one scene. I was like, Mr. Harrington deserves more rights than this.
The teacher, all, I think it was three of them who were, like, the teachers throughout the first
two movies. Yeah, and one of them was, like, I believe Mysterio.
Yes. They were so funny when they did the Far From Home because they, like, went on the trip with them. That, yeah, I do really wish
we got more than just, like... I loved all of the three Spider-Man movies. Like, they're all in probably my top 10 Marvel movies, like MCU movies.
I think so for me as well.
Because they were just all so well done that even if they're not, like, the best movie in the world, they, like Thor the Dark World doesn't hold a candle to any single one.
Yeah, they did what Spider-Man's character has always kind of been, like, at least in my, like, how I perceive it is, like, he's kind of, like, the little brother of, like, the Marvel Universe, even, like, the with Toby and Andrews, where they're kind of, like, movies that aren't trying to be overtly complex. They're kind of just trying to, like, show you what... just like a down-to-earth kid living like an insane life. They're not trying they're not movies that are going, even though yes, Far From Home like obviously expanded the Marvel world in like a huge way with like the multiverse and stuff, but like at its core the movie's just trying to like be about friendship and love and family, and I love that. I think it's,
and also great acting. I feel like it's underrated how well the acting is done in the MCU.
It's written really well. It's not cringy. I don't find it cheesy. I find it like just a good. It's just
which
good.
Is why I know it's people say like, "Ooh, this like people were talking about like Spider-Man No Way Home, maybe or maybe not. Obviously, it didn't getting like an Oscar nomination." But when you think of, like, the feeling, when I think as just a human being who loves movies about the feelings I got as a Marvel fan while watching Spider-Man No Way Home compared to the feelings I got while watching, like, for example, Don't Look Up, in a second, I would put Spider-Man No Way Home in that spot. And I know I'm not an Academy voter, and I know that, you know, I'm not so well-versed in everything ever, but just... I know that, you know, there's a different kind of acclaim with, like, dialogue and all that stuff. And, you know, the directors, the Academy, like, that being respected by the Academy. But I feel like because people like to, you know, like, if I'm taking that, like, Martin Scorsese quote where he was like, you know, they remind him of amusement park rides. Well, that's an amusement park ride I want to go on every time. Because I think that if they're overlooked, just because they're this big spectacle, they're overlooked for the amount of heart and the great acting put into the movie. And I think that, you know, if they seriously did, like, there's quite a few Marvel movies that could have gotten, like a what's it called? Best Picture nomination in like, multiple years. Because they've been coming out since 2008. And I feel like there's a couple times, other than, like, obviously Black Panther, which did get a Best Picture nomination, where it could have gotten nominated easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because I'm, like... Because the thing is with, like, the Academy.
Say like, it in the fancy way, yeah.
A lot of these movies are, like, not really going off of, like, whether they are seemingly good or not. Like, not in, like, a, is this a high-quality movie? In that, like, Spider-Man is, like, a good movie. It makes you feel good. It is... You know, it's telling a story that's well written, it's well acted, it's well put together. It's not like, you know, cringy or bad or cheaply made. But I think when it comes to like...
Academy, definitely not cheap.
Yeah, they... like from what I have seen, it's like always...
A motion picture. Like,
yeah, it's always these movies that are making like a profound statement, and it doesn't really leave room for movies that are kind of just trying to exist to entertain people. And I think yes, it's important to recognize movies that like are very like thoughtfully written and directed and created. Like, I think that that's important. And a film like, I don't even like, I'm trying to think of like the different movies that are nominated this year. Like, if you think of even like if you think of Don't Look Up, as you said earlier, it's a movie that is very Like, it's written in a very intellectual way, and it's telling us very specific, purposeful story. You're not really meant to be like, ah, this was such a fun movie. You're kind of supposed to be a little bit bummed after you watch it, but that doesn't mean it's a bad movie.
And oh, I definitely think, not. I thought it was a well-made movie.
Yeah, I
loved
it. And
I'm also excited that I said in the last episode, I was also very excited that, like, the Academy was recognizing a comedy, because that doesn't always happen.
But, exactly, because they steer away from, like, entertaining movies rather than thought-provoking movies, and I think that there's a place for both in a prestigious award ceremony. I think it's important to recognize that movies are also meant to be escapism, and I think it's important we recognize ones that are telling its stories.
I also don't
that need
think
to be told,
because the Oscars, I think, have been so hesitant for so many years to, like, not nominate Marvel movies. Obviously, we don't know behind the scenes, because there's a lot of Academy voters, how many votes something got, how many votes something didn't get. But I think there, I feel like it's been this big debate, but it's not like a Marvel movie is gonna, nominating a Marvel movie once in a while is gonna, like, break the Oscars or something. Because it's not like they're gonna start nominating, like, to all the boys I've loved before. It's like they're gonna, if they nominate,
like, that's
a Marvel
what the People's
movie,
Choice Awards are for, and the Kids' Choice Awards.
And again, Marvel movies are most of the time are so, like, well received that it's not gonna, like, break, like, the validity or, like, how important the award show is if they nominate a Marvel movie once in a while. The Oscars happen every single year, and there was 10 Best Picture nominees this year. I don't know if there's 10 every single year, but there was 10 this year. So yeah. I think it literally wouldn't kill them once in a while if they nominate a Marvel movie. And I'm not saying that they always deserve to be there, but I'm just saying that there has been enough good screenplays in their, like, 27 movies or something, where I think once in a while it could have gotten a nomination but didn't. And again, it would not break it. It wouldn't be like, ooh, now it can be open to anything. Let's nominate everything that's really horribly done willy-nilly. Because Marvel movies aren't horribly done. I think they're very well made.
Yeah, like, for example, I definitely think the script for Thor Ragnarok should have been nominated.
Taika Waititi is a genius.
He is such a clever comedy writer, in that when I first watched Thor Ragnarok, I was like, oh, like, this is a funny movie. Like, I am laughing. I'm entertained. This is good. And then when I watched
it revamped Thor as a great character.
Exactly.
Because Chris Hemsworth had so much in him.
He was able to take characters that had kind of been neglected by fans and, like, the Marvel world, and completely turn them around while still keeping the characters the same people that they were, while
and
also
putting sexy Kate Blanchett in there.
And he was also able to tell a really, really smart, it was a story about brothers and brothers bonding, and I think that movie did more with comedy
and
than Cole, the other two movies did with a drama.
Hey Cole, I'm made of rocks.
And I think he's just very intentional with his writing. Like, after watching Jojo Rabbit, like, he's very intentional with his comedy and where to put comedy that it will just make he just makes you think. I don't know what it is about that man.
Yeah, like, when he won Best Adapted Screenplay for Jojo Rabbit, I was so over the moon for him, because I was like, he deserves this. Like, it's really hard nowadays to find the most thoughtful writers who don't just, like, I don't know, who have really original material and don't just copy things or it's different when, like, an adapted screenplay has, like, taken inspiration from something and not just been, like, an exact retelling with some things different. Because that's honestly, I was saying this the other day when we were talking about, like, book to, like, movies, that you're never going to deliver what everyone wants a lot of the time, because if you're taking an exact book and putting the entire book in the movie, you have to take some creative liberties, but that also means taking things out or changing things that made people like the book in the first place. And I don't think there's a lot of instances where I feel like no one's ever going to be happy unless you made some, like, perfect changes, which I feel is never going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seemed like because it was adapted, obviously, but it seems like he took the book and kind of, like, put a whole new take on it. And I like when things
it was an inspiration
and exactly, because I think in Like, if you take something like To All the Boys I Loved Before, right? Which is basically a text-to-screen adaptation. Like, basically copy and pasted what was in the book. And I think people get upset when a movie is very clearly set out to be, like, a copy and paste of the book, and then the director tries to change things. But I think I feel like it can only work if the director is, like, very clear that they're going to take the story skeleton from the book, and then they're going to build around it something that works, because not every book is meant to be a movie, you know?
Exactly.
Things need to be changed.
We said it, like, in the last episode. An art form is made in the way that it's made because it was supposed to be made that way.
That way.
And, you know, it's different because, you know, sometimes people, you know, people will get paid for their work because it's being made into a movie. But a lot of the time, no one's happy because you can't really do it. You can't make it original if you don't take some creative liberties, but you also can't stay true to the book if you change things. There's the middle ground can only come if someone's so entirely creative that they actually change something in the book for the better. And I also think a problem is that in a lot of books, specifically rom-com books, there's, you know, a lot of thoughts coming from a character. And if you don't have like a voiceover, like, narrator in the movie, you're not going to have any meaning because there's a lot of things left behind when the book is literally made up of, like, these characters' thoughts towards one another.
And then half your movie is voiceovers.
Yeah. Like, there's so many things that can go wrong with book to movies, which is why I'm so happy when there's just flat out original things coming out, because it means someone put so much onto something that they didn't even need any inspiration from some kind of text. It came out of their brain, or it came out of something that they saw on the street. You know, like Jonathan Larson was told, write about what you know.
And he did. And he wrote two brilliant musicals. I mean, he wrote other ones, but.
But they were a bit of a mess. Suburbia. We still love that.
We love 31st Suburbia.
Annual Space Awards presentation. Okay. We've been talking for so long, but I feel like there's other things that we've missed. Do you have any other talking points, Amy?
I'm trying to think what has gone on in the world. A lot is going on in the world, which is why there hasn't been a lot of pop culture things, just because I think
more important the celebrity things than pop internet culture have been going on.
I also, last week during reading week, was the first time in my life I voluntarily turned on the news without it already being on, put on by my parents.
That's so
I was
Gen
home
Z.
alone. Yeah, I was home alone with my sister, and my parents were away for a night for their anniversary, and I was, like, bored. I was watching, like, Law and Order or something on TV, like, trying to just, like, fill in time. And I was like, you know what, I'm really curious, like, what's happening? So I turned on the news, and then I got bored of all the commercial breaks, so I went back to watching TV.
Commercial breaks are the worst because we've been so spoiled with streaming services.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, they talk for 5 minutes and then there's another commercial break. I was like, I just want to know what's going on in the world. So now I just stick to watching CNN clips on YouTube.
The way I feel like we can connect, like, in the world and what's, like, happening and, like, in a situation where it's important for us to talk about, honestly, like, it's very important, like, brief rundown. There's a war going on between, we're not a war, like, Russia, between, like, Russia and the Ukraine, but it's very, like, Putin's an evil dictator and, like, he can go to hell.
Yeah.
And he's just waging war because he's basically, he wants to control a lot of land and
Putin wants control of the Ukraine because he's angry that he does not have a very powerful Commonwealth, I guess. It's not really a Commonwealth because it's not a monarchy, but, like, the countries that Russia occupies are not very liquid for Putin, and Ukraine was, but they want independence, and Putin sees that as a
threat,
personal attack on him and his leadership, and thus he is enacting a war he can't win. And it sucks because innocent people from both countries are getting caught in the crossfire. And
poor citizens. Like,
those, like, the people that live in Russia and the Ukraine are, like, they are going through hell right now. Obviously, people in the Ukraine are being a lot more physically harmed, but the people in Russia who are protesting are also facing some really, really serious implications from their government, which are really devastating. So it's very important, you know, stay alert in the news. It can be a little depressing, and sometimes it's too much, and information overload is never good.
Mm-hmm. I think also the way we can say that we can connect this to two girls who are very avid on social media is the fact that there is a lot of information and propaganda that can go around on social media. And I think it's best. I know there's a lot of pressure from like people who are, you know, always posting things online to post things and show that you care. But the most important thing to do right now in this kind of situation, which is insane and honestly, it's crazy, is to get educated. And it doesn't mean you have to post anything online. But if you want to donate, find resources and make sure that they're good ones and make sure that you're not giving money to people who are going to steal your money. Make sure that the you can research information and you don't have to post it online as long as you know that what you're hearing is the truth. You don't have to. If you like, it's, I think it's so stupid to make people post things online, and people would rather post misinformation to show that they quote unquote care rather than actually finding the true information. So
100%.
Honestly, it's crazy what's going on in the world, but the best thing is if you want to get educated, just to make sure that your research is, you know, the truth and not, you know, fake things, fake infographics that people will post on Instagram. Yeah. I've seen it many times over from different things that have happened over the past couple of years, especially within the pandemic, when people think that because they read one Instagram infographic that they know everything, but they don't. Stay alert, get educated, find good resources, donate if you want to, or just tell other people to donate, find good ones. And, you know,
always remember, those infographics are boiling down very, very complex problems into like 4 or 5 different title cards. So yeah, just like,
and if you see someone post an infographic, but it doesn't mean that should be your only information you're getting.
Exactly. You can read them. Like, I know when I was first trying to figure it out, it was very helpful to have the information kind of like condensed and way more readable, because there is a lot of information. There is an overwhelming amount of information, especially on this topic, as there always is when something big happens in the world. Yeah,
because histories like, in countries and places and nations can go so far back that you don't even realize until you start researching how much in the world has honestly happened.
Exactly. So I think it's a good starting point to see those infographics, but then I think taking the liberty to just do a quick Google search, look at some of the, you know, trusted news sources, and, you know, just stay safe, everyone. Yeah.
I text you and slay every single day. That rhymes.
Yeah, I started texting people that too because of you. The like, YUH.
Oh my god. But it's literally addicting.
It's so fun. And I go,
did you play Wordle today? You played Wordle today. You did. You sent your Wordle to me.
I did.
The New York Times they've loved to give us a lot of double letter word, like double consonants. Like,
I luckily, so many, on my second try, put in a double letter, I think, or like third. Okay. Like, I put it in just to like see, because I was like, I had gotten the one letter and I was like, okay. They've been doing a lot of double letters recently. Like, I think we've had
all
like
the time. There was spill. Yeah,
like it's been at least like 5 in the last
vivid
week.
Vivid was a nightmare. Cynic. Yeah. When the word was cynic, I literally jumped up and down mad about this word, because I literally had guessed it super early but spelt it wrong. Listen, Amy, I don't know every word ever. I'm not a walking thesaurus, okay? Not a walking dictionary here.
That's okay. My family, we always send them to each other. And today, my mom has been sending all these texts. And it has taken her the entire day to do this word. She's like, every couple of hours, she'll like try and do it again on her phone, like in between work. And she's like, I have never been this frustrated in my life.
Sometimes I'll use I won't know what the word is, but I'll use the letters I have left to randomly put stuff in. And sometimes they'll be right. Like, I will say, because there's only literally 20 minutes, like 40 minutes left in the day, and no one will be hearing this today when the word is.
Yeah.
The reason I even got rupee was because I put in random letters and then I was like, oh wait, that's a word, and I pressed enter and I got it.
I do that all the time. Half the time it tells me it's not a word. Like, I'm literally putting in letter combinations to see. Yeah, because I'm like, oh shoot, the only letters I have are like not vowels. So I'm literally just inserting vowels in different spots to like hope that they become words. And then I'm like, oh, this is a word. And then I remember when like that word, when we got rupee, I was like, wait. Because I was like, I've heard of that word. And then I Googled it, and it's like the singular version of like the Indian currency, rupal. Because I was like, rupee's not a word, it's rupal. But that's the plural. Because I didn't, I never, I don't talk about, you know, Indian currency. Like, yeah. Why would I talk about Indian currency?
What about, it's part of my everyday speech. So what annoying. Are you talking about? I talk about it every day. Every single day. Tomorrow, it's going to... Oh, my God. What if it's euros tomorrow? That will be so funny.
Oh, my God.
Some people have starting words. I think starting words are for losers, respectfully.
Yeah. I have, like, a couple words that, like, when I can't think of a starting word, I put in. Like, I do audio or maze. Like, M-A-I-S-E, are, like, ones that, like, if I'm, like, sometimes I always want to think of a word that has at least two vowels in it.
Sometimes I get pissed off because I'll think of a word and then I'll realize it's six letters and not five.
Yes. And because they never do, like, a four-letter word with an S.
Like, and sometimes past 12 a.m., my mind will betray me and then I'll put in a word and I'll be so confident and then I'll realize that I literally had already gotten the letter in the right place and I moved it.
Yes.
That, and then that and someone's like, you're like, what are you doing? Like, it was, and I'm like, I'm sorry, like, I'm tired.
That literally happened to me the Saturday before reading week. I was, like, out at a party and I came home and I was a little bit intoxicated.
Just a wee bit. I'm it's okay, legal she's age. Legal, guys.
I am of legal age, so I am not doing anything wrong. And I
I'm
was
not
like,
a minor, oh, like, but
yeah. I was like, oh, it's like 1 a.m. Like, I'll do the Wordle. And I kept on putting in letters in the wrong spot that I had gotten green. I kept moving them by accident, or I accidentally put in letters that I had gotten wrong. And I would try them again. Like, if I had tried a word with an S and there was no S, the next word. Sorry, abiotic.
Yeah, guys, it's
tried an S again.
Break.
Yeah, and it took me like six tries to get a word that I probably could have gotten in less than that. But
you know what's annoying though? Sometimes people will be like, "Why are you using letters that you've already used that are wrong?" And I'm like, "Because I'm trying to find letters that I don't have, and I don't know any other words." So yeah. Sometimes I do sometimes it purposefully, you're just and people like, are like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm just trying to get more. Like, stop being mean to me."
It's very hard. Okay, words are hard.
The other day when the word was choke, I kept on making jokes to everybody, being like, "Wow, they really went for the throat with that one." And I kept on making that joke to everyone. And I was like, "I'm so funny. I deserve a medal for this joke. I'm literally the funniest person to ever exist." Remember when I was younger, my dad's like, "Maya, you know what? You're funny. You should go do the talent show at your school. You should be a stand-up comic." And I never did it. And I'm so happy I didn't, because I would have so many traumatic memories if I had.
Oh, 100%. I thought you were going to say you did it. And I was like, no, oh, there's some childhood trauma to dive into.
No, but low-key, I want to be, like, if I could.
I think
if
your I could, dad was just setting funny. You up so that he could be entertained.
No, literally, he gave me some of the jokes. No. My dad's really funny, though, I will say. Dad, if you're listening to this, you're so funny, and I appreciate getting some of your humor in my genes. But I wish I could think on my feet that fast where I could be. Well, I know that, like, stand-up comics are, like, their acts are, like, scripted, but I wish I could, like, make up that many jokes.
It seems so hard to just like sit and think of,
because what if it just doesn't what if it doesn't deliver and like you tell a joke and then it's cricket?
Yeah, like I can say a funny comment, like I can say a funny comment in like a conversation and like make a joke like going off of what other people are saying, but it's usually like me just like making fun of somebody else.
Same. Oh my god, mean like, humor is literally joke. So the best. As long as I'm not genuinely offending someone. Like, usually the mean humor is also not. Yeah, it's just like I'm making a joke about you because I love you and this is not personal.
Exactly. And I also will usually follow it up with like a self-deprecating joke. You know?
Oh, same. speaking of self-deprecating, is self-effacing the same thing? Because Miss Taylor put self-effacing jokes. Is that like making fun of yourself, self-effacing jokes?
Let's Google this, shall we?
Guys, we're doing a live Google. Hold on to your bums. I didn't know what word to use.
Did you say hold on to your buns?
No, I said bums, but I didn't. I was about to go like hold on to your something.
It's self-effacing says not claiming attention for oneself.
Oh.
Being modest. So it's the opposite. Oh.
I thought it was self-deprecating this entire time.
Self-deprecating is just like harming yourself.
Okay, but I wasn't that far off because like technically it was still about self something. No, don't make fun of me. Guys, here you are listening to my downfall of the English language. It's the only language I know fluently and I'm not even good at it, guys. I take some English classes. Like, why am I, what am I doing here? No.
Do you know it fluently, Maya?
Me fail English? That's impossible. If you know The Simpsons, you know that line. No, I'm literally the goodest at English. What are you talking about, Amy? It's no apostrophe. The best language in the world. Sorry, I'm so done. I'm so sorry. I'm going delirious. So what else has happened?
Long day.
Yeah, it's no, literally. Tuesdays are my busiest day at university, so don't mind me for acting like a crazy person, guys. I've been on my laptop making soch notes a lot of the day, and I'm just really done with it.
Yeah, Mondays and Wednesdays are my
who wants to days. Hear about our hell university life, guys? No, just kidding. We love Laurier. Love you, Laurier. Sending hearts and kisses to you guys for letting us have our platform kisses, to talk about whatever we want. Guys, we ordered Radio Laurier hoodies, and we're so excited to get them.
Yes. Oh my god, I forgot about that. I am very excited to get my hoodie. They're really nice.
My
They're
baby blue hoodie? Come on, turn up.
We're real podcasters. We have merch.
Okay, before we bore you guys with talking about our personal lives, I think we will end it here, and thank you for listening to us for an hour and 5 minutes about what we do, what we think about every single week when we are not doing work. Bye, guys.
Bye.